couple things going on here. I think the first off is this was just one of a number of amendments that was debated yesterday. The committee put as many as 66 changes into what they call the manager's amendment, and the committee passed that manager's amendment, which is a procedural thing for saying we like this bill, not that bill, not the original bill, and that passed easily. But this one provision to freeze the number of DHS employees really actually started a much harsher requirement, and it actually would freeze all employees until the unemployment rate dropped to 8% across the nation. But Senator Susan Collins worked with the amendment sponsor to put a finer point on this idea. And listen to this exchange between Collins and the amendment sponsor, Senator Rand Paul.
What the senator is now proposing is to essentially freeze the overall number of full-time equivalent positions in the department that do not involve emergency operations. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the reason this is important is the first version of the senator's amendment would have prevented backfilling positions that were vacant and setting priorities. The revised version has an overall cap, which is a way better approach because then you can manage and make decisions on which positions should be filled and which should not.
So if this bill, which should become law, and that's a big if right now, and we'll get to that maybe a little bit later, but if this bill should become law, they would freeze non-emergency personnel. So when Senator Paul was asked, okay, well, what is the definition of emergency personnel? He said, actually, that's up to the DHS secretary. So there's a little bit of leeway there. This amendment modified, as Senator Collins described it, actually squeaked by a vote of 9-8. And there's a lot of concern about the impact of DHS, both in the short term and the long term.
Jason, what about the number of contractors who work for DHS? They've been trying to rebalance that workforce for a while.
And that's part of the reason why I think this amendment was not broadly supported by committee members. Senator Claire McCaskill says limiting the number of employees is really a small piece of the problem. The bigger issue is the number of contractors who work for DHS. And really nobody knows how many contractors work for DHS. The Government Accountability Office estimated a few years ago there were about 200,000 contractors, but even DHS is not exactly sure how many they have. McCaskill says this amendment may have the opposite effect of what Paul and the committee wanted to do.
What we may actually be doing by supporting this amendment is saying hire more contractors and get rid of FTEs, which we now know are more expensive. And frankly, a lot of these contracts in Homeland Security are fixed price. We don't even know what the contractors are making that are sitting at the Department of Homeland Security working. I mean, one of the most shocking things I determined when I got here, Senator, was they can't even tell you how many contractors they have working at the Department of Homeland Security.
I think you make a good point. Why don't we add in contractors?
Well, the problem is we can't add in contractors because we don't know how many there are if we do it by just numbers.
McCaskill says she says you know, contractors are more expensive, and she's pointing to that recent report by the Project on Government Oversight that found that agencies spend $1.83 for contractors for every dollar they spend on employees. We have a link on federalnewsradio.com for more information on that report. Now, I caught up with Committee Chairman Joseph Lieberman after the hearing to ask about this issue of limiting contractors at DHS.
We're going to stay on top of it. They are trying to rebalance the workforce. But when we held a hearing on this a while ago, I was shocked by the number of contractors they have. Contract employees are almost as many as full-time federal employees, and that's a real problem. So I think one of the things we're going to do in response to that discussion about Senator Paul's amendment, Senator McCaskill-Coburn, we're going to see if there's something more we can do in the authorization bill on the floor that deals with requiring DHS to control the number of outside contractors they're paying.
He says the oversight of the contractor workforce remains a top priority for the committee, and he really wants to figure out whether contractors do cost more than to the government or than employees or not. I mean, that's one issue that both Senator Collins and Senator Lieberman have written to DHS asking them about rebalancing their workforce. It's something that I've talked to DHS Undersecretary for Management Rafael Boris just earlier this last month about this issue about rebalancing the workforce. And even he tells me it's not about quotas. It's not about, you know, making sure we have one contractor for every five employees or vice versa. He goes, it's finding the mix that really makes DHS work.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, they've been marking up this bill in a couple of sessions. What are some of the other provisions that did make it into the final version?
Right, this was a two-day markup, if you will, and they were smart enough, I think, to put a lot of these amendments that were non-controversial into a what they call the manager's amendment. And they also worked on some of those more sticky points earlier on before they got to the markup to help get it through more quickly. So a couple highlights. For instance, Senator John McCain wanted to ban, now for the most part, the use of what they call cost-plus type contracts at DHS. Now, Senator Collins and Senator McCain worked on this issue, and should this bill become law, they figured out a provision that they could make this work. And what they decided was DHS would have to get pre-approval before using these types of contracts. And these are time and material type contracts, labor hour type contracts, what they consider very high risk to the government type contracts. Now, the committee would have to approve the use of these contracts for any task order or contract worth more than $10 million. Now, otherwise, under $10 million, the DHS Undersecretary for Management and its Investment Review Board would have to approve the use of cost-type contracts. This was basically a compromise between Senators Collins and McCain. Another one from Senators Daniel Akaka and Tom Coburn would require DHS to make public all reports it sends to Congress as part of the Government Performance Results Modernization Act. This was passed in the last year. The manager's amendment also includes a provision from Senator Tom Carper to require the Customs and Border Protection and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement to develop a workforce staffing plan to ensure they have, number one, the right levels of employees to promote integrity of the workforce and the right number of, if you will, investigators to ensure that they are able to investigate any allegations of misconduct. Coburn also came up with a couple other bills, a couple other provisions. I'll go through them real quick. He wants several GA reports, one on the cost of travel expenses by DHS political appointees, another GAO report on the quality and effectiveness of DHS's intelligence and analysis capabilities, and finally a third one on the Office of Policy to see if that has grown too much over the years. And finally, Coburn also wants a cost estimate from DHS to Congress on what it will cost for DHS to move to the St. Elizabeth's Complex, which is where their consolidated headquarters will eventually be. Now, the committee passed about five other amendments last week. We have all that linked up right there on federalnewsradio.com.
Jason, what is the likelihood of this getting voted upon by the Senate or the House? I mean, this actually making it through?
It's going to be tough to get this bill passed just in the Senate alone this Congress. I think, and more broadly, I think with everything that Congress is trying to deal with, the super committee, deficit reduction, spending bills for 2012, and even Senator Lieberman said, you know, we have a lot of important priorities from postal service reform to cybersecurity that still need to kind of work their way through. He said he'd like to see the Senate vote on the bill before the end of the year, but realistically he doesn't really expect the full body to vote on until after January 1st. Now, on the House side, Congressman Peter King, the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, he said last week that he'll introduce a DHS authorization bill and hold a markup in the coming weeks. Nothing's been introduced. Nothing's been scheduled yet. But so it doesn't look like this bill is going to make it very far, but what I think it does do, and I think this is very important, is the fact that it gives DHS some perspective on congressional priorities around policy, especially acquisition, especially changes. And the other thing it does is it supports a lot of the goals of the president, which says, you know, I'm going to close down this program or shut down this grant program because it's duplicative, or make changes to really kind of clean up DHS. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just, you know, it's been around for 7-8 years. You need to do some house cleaning, some tidying up around the edges.